I wanted to start my message this morning by sharing a true story. And I am going to sing a song at the end that goes with the message this morning. But this story is about a young lady. Her name is Melissa. And apparently her parents must have remodeled her bedroom. And when they got done, one of the things that she wanted to do to make her room her uniquely her room is she took an open container and she poured coffee beans in that container, didn't put a lid on it, just left it open and set it on a shelf in her room. Why did she do that? Because she wanted her room to permeate with this warm scent or this warm fragrance in her room. Now, I mean, I'm not sure why she did it, but if I was to think about it, maybe a little bit. Maybe she wanted to put that open container of coffee beans in her room because when she wakes up in the morning, maybe her parents are making coffee for themselves. And the first thing she thinks of when she wakes up is she smells that coffee brewing. And to her, that's a comforting feeling. She has a sense of home, a sense of security when she smells that coffee brewing. So maybe that's the reason why she put coffee beans in an open container in her room. But unfortunately, 3 or 4 years later, she died in a car accident at the age of 17. The parents for over 20 years, and to this very day, still take a container that is an open container and is filled with coffee beans, and they set it on a shelf, and they freshen it up every so often, and that fragrance of those coffee beans fills that room. Now, I know they certainly don't need to be reminded of their daughter because that's their daughter. But they did that because that was something that she did and it was special to her. And they kind of wanted to continue doing that in honor to her. But the thing is, when they smell that fragrance, it brings them to a remembrance of their beautiful daughter, who they called Mel. They didn't call her Melissa, they called her Mel. So in Scripture also uses fragrances as a reminder. Like in Song of Songs, it refers to a fragrance as a symbol of love between a man and a woman. I remember when I first met George, my husband, he was wearing Jovan cologne, and I loved the smell of that. And years later, they came out with a woman's Jovan musk, and so I started wearing that, and I still wear it occasionally now. But I wear it, and I think of my husband. But in Hosea chapter 14, 6, it says, God's forgiveness of Israel is said to be a fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. So it's talking about fragrance here. And I did a little research as I was going through this, that at least 14 times fragrance is mentioned in the Bible. Now this morning, as I said, I want you to participate in my message today. So, and I'm going to give you a few examples. One of the examples was Melissa, when she would, you know, smell that coffee, she would remember her parents. And yesterday, Caroline and Bruce were at my house working on my screen porch, and we were talking about this message. And Bruce was kind of getting teary-eyed, and he said that it made him think of a memory. And I don't think he never did it. He shared the story a little bit, but he didn't tell me exactly. Even Caroline was giving him a hard time. He couldn't define or describe what the smell was, but that he could remember that smell. So, Bruce, I want you to tell me the fragrance. If you can explain the fragrance. If you can't, that's okay. But in like 15, 30 seconds, share what that fragrance reminded you of.
Well, my grandfather's Alfred Marino, the first farm south of Hennepin, Illinois. And did a lot of duck hunting down there. And I went up to visit one day, and I think I had office clothes on. And my uncle then had, my grandpa died, and my uncle was working the farm. And so we were going to go hunting. And I thought, I need to go hunting again. Why do you need grandpa's gun? And, you know, go get his hunting coat upstairs. And I went upstairs. You have his hunting coat, it smelled like him. Oh, I'm sorry. It was just rushes into you, you know, that it was him. His fragrance from wearing that hunting coat for a million times. You know, it was really a powerful memory, still is, you can tell. I apologize.
Thank you, Bruce. Caroline, you said you didn't have one at this time, if you think of one. Okay. Marilyn, do you have a fragrance that brings back a memory for you? Yeah? Okay. Lois?
The smell of pipe tobacco.
Okay.
It reminds me of my dad.
Okay.
You don't smell much smoke anymore, but whenever you do smell that.
You think of him. Okay. How about you two back there? Kay? Byron?
I know.
You do, sure?
Brother service fellow purposes. This big burly guy would use Jergens cherry vanilla hand lotion. And he'd rub it on his hands, and I'd sit on his lap, and he'd scratch my back. And every time I even see that, I even have to smell it, if I see that, it reminds me of my wonderful grandpa.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Byron, Kay, can you think of a fragrance? How about you, Alice?
Not really, but I think it's a very good smell of the place where my husband and Brandon hunting all the time, and they clean the deer and wildlife in our garage. I can still remember when I was pulling the garage and think about in the hoisted there where they hoisted them up. I still remember smelling all that meat out there.
Okay. Veronica, Dave? Okay.
So a lot of times in front of the computer, I would smell vanilla. I think of Dave's father, and I realized it was my coffee. It reminds me of my father-in-law.
I get a whiff of it once in a while. And I'm looking at it.
Notice, I'm going to get to this side here for a minute, but notice the only things that that you shared were the good memories. When you shared the fragrance, it was a fragrance about a good memory. I'm going to get to this other side because I want all of us to share. But smell, there, you know, we have our five senses, but smell is the strongest link between our memory and our emotions. Out of all our five senses, smell is the strongest of those senses for memory and for emotions. Iona, do you have a fragrance or aroma that you can remember that brings back a good memory? Your mom? Okay, what was the smell? Vanilla?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Don. Allison?
Lilac.
Okay. Okay. Mary?
I don't know if it's a good memory or not, but coffee smelling, whenever I got pregnant, I could not stand the smell of coffee.
Okay. Really? So you knew when you were pregnant then, pretty much. Okay. Nancy and Jerry?
Well, I always had horses when I was young, and to this day, I long for the smell of a clean, healthy horse. Nothing smells better.
Aw. Oh, that's wonderful. That's a good one. Jerry?
Baked bread.
Okay, fresh baked bread. Did your mother make it, or did a... Okay, all right. You ready? You got one? Okay.
It's a little different. It's from being raised on the farm.
Okay.
I can smell of hay.
Okay.
Milk of hay.
Okay.
I was always involved in helping at one time or another, but all the neighbors got together and helped each other.
Mm-hmm. That's good. How about, Tim, how about you?
My mom's cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, my dad, when we had the house up in Lewis's, but now he butchered chickens. But he butchered them and plucked them in hot water. I couldn't stand
them. Yeah.
Chickens.
Well, now that you mention that, too, I remember my mom chasing the chicken and cutting its head off, and then, you know, then we kids would get to pull the feathers off, and then they'd sear them, right? Isn't that what they did? They seared the chickens. Okay, so sometimes it's nice to have a small group so that we can do this, where we can participate in the message, but I'm going to throw out some of these real quick. How about fresh cut grass? Hay was brought up. Pine trees, what's that make us think of? What kind of memories do we have when we think of pine trees? Okay. How about, let's see where you go with this one. Coconut butter. Anybody?
Frying myself outside when I was in
I was waiting for somebody to say that. Did somebody else have one about that? Coconut butter?
The beach.
The beach. Okay. How about baby lotion or baby oil? Yeah. Okay. Here's one for you guys. New cars. The smell of new cars. Some of you ladies might like that too. What was the name of the old detergent that they used to advertise like on Gunsmoke and Virginia? Was that Borax or something?
Borax.
Was that really strong? Was that a strong smell? What's that? Oh, there you go. How about a campfire? Okay, how about, now this one, my grandpa used to drink this every night when I would go stay there. I mean, he always did. Ovaltine. Yeah, that was his treat before he went to bed at night, was a glass of milk with Ovaltine in it. How about Pond's facial cream? How about lavender water? Lily of the Valley. Ivory bar soap. How about homemade soups? Homemade soups that were made, you know, or holiday smells, or who had mentioned the bread? Was that
Jerry?
Jerry. Okay, so bread, cookies, pies, stuff like that. So I wanted us to think about these things because God uses our senses to bring back these good memories. And with that, Paul said, we are to God a pleasing aroma of Christ's victory over sin, or for those who are saved and those who are perishing. Paul, that's what Paul says, that we are an aroma of Christ. God has given us the fragrance of Christ himself. What an honor that is, that we are the fragrance. We can be, if we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can be the fragrance of Christ himself. So when we sing in the morning, when we join together in song, think of it this way. God smells a sweet sacrifice of praise. So when we're together and we're singing, he's experiencing a fragrance of praise coming from us. So what do we do with that? How can we live so that we can spread this pleasing aroma, this pleasing fragrance of Christ to others as we go through our day? First, we can show generosity, understanding, patience. We can show love, or we can share the gospel. And then let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's exactly what that consists of, that aroma, that fragrance that I'm talking about. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, kindness, generosity, self-control. All of these things are ways that we can spread that aroma, that fragrance of Christ. So with that, I want to share another short story. It's about a man. It doesn't give his name. It just talks about the fact that he's a rancher. He's from Texas. He lives outside of a small town in Texas. And about two or three times a week, he goes in town for supplies. But his main purpose for going is not so much for the supplies that he needs. Yes, he picks these up. But this man, this rancher, makes a habit, intentionally goes down the street on one side, comes up the other side, maybe for blocks, and he intentionally stops and he meets people on the street. Now, he's done this for so long that he's got these people's, you know, he knows them by their first names. And the thing is this, he's done this for so long, he's been so faithful at it, that the people in this town look forward to seeing him come. Because, again, he knows them by their first names. But not only that, when he fellowships with them, when he visits with them, he takes interest in them. And he'll even say, is there something that I can pray with you about today? Or, how are you doing? And they might open up and share and feel, after so many months or so many years of seeing this rancher go up and down the streets, that they've developed a relationship with him. And they've gotten to the point where they've shared maybe some of their ups and downs in lives, some of the circumstances and situations that they're going through. So what he does is, again, he shows his interest, but he also, maybe the week before, someone that he talked to wasn't feeling well, he remembers that. And how are you feeling today? Or you said last week so-and-so wasn't feeling good. How are they doing? So it wasn't just a happenstance. He makes a purpose. He has a plan. So this is his way of, you know, leaving that aroma or that fragrance of Christ. Because he would ask them about relationships. If there were difficulties with relationships, he would, I'm praying for you and what you're going through right now. Or maybe it's a financial issue, or maybe a job issue. I've been praying for you. I want you to know I've been thinking about you. So he got to where he was known for being a person of encouragement, a person of prayer, and a person who would share the gospel, who would use scripture and apply that scripture to the situation that they were going through. But as I was reading this story, this was the fascinating part about it. It says he didn't force his faith, but he always seemed to leave a portion of his faith with those that he saw. In other words, what did he do? He left a portion of that aroma, that portion of that fragrance of Christ with them when he left. So today, as you sit back and you think about those people that you shared this morning, and the fragrance that reminds you of that person, that individual, left such a positive mark on your life that it's something to this day you still remember. And because of that, that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to take that fragrance, that aroma of being Christ-like, that Christ-like aroma. He wants us to take that and touch lives and make a difference. So that when people have an experience, they'll think of you. They'll think of the time that you had patience and sat there and listened to them pull out their story or their grief or their, you know, just getting it off their chest. Knowing that someone was there and took the time and showed them love, encouragement, compassion. You know, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 2:15, he would call this rancher a sweet aroma of Christ. Because God used this rancher to spread the aroma of love and of knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, and the rancher shared the testimony of his faith and what God had done for him and what God could do for them. And he probably shared that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And what he's done for me, he can do for you. That's a way of encouraging, a way that gives a person hope that God is still there and that he will never leave you or forsake you. That's what he was doing, was encouraging the people that he met. The thing is about this rancher is this. The rancher has since gone on to be with the Lord. But his fragrance lingers still in this small town of Texas. There are people today that still talk about this rancher and the effect that he had on their lives. C.S. Lewis wrote, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked with a mere mortal." In other words, every human that we come in contact with has an eternal consequence. They're either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. We might be that person that comes along and brings that aroma, that fragrance of Christ, that brings them from one side of the fence to the other side of the fence. Or if you've got a person that's sitting on the fence, isn't what Jesus said? "I would prefer that you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I will spew you out." So when we go to meet other people and we share that aroma of Christ, we're leaving that fragrance, a portion of that there with them. And because of that, there's a good, strong possibility that that will bring them to eternal salvation, that it will lean them towards Christ. And that consequence of death isn't going to be one where they'll go to hell, but to heaven. So every day we have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of those people that are around us. Like this rancher, through a quiet witness of a faithful and a gentle life, he didn't push his faith on them. He just showed his compassion and his concern. That's all he did. And he would even ask, "Can I pray for you? Or have you ever heard this scripture? This scripture goes perfectly with what you're going through right now." He did it in such a manner that it was so subtle and yet so sincere. Can we be that person that has a quiet witness, a faithfulness, a gentle life, a person who encourages the weary soul? We should never underestimate the effect of a Christ-like life. I'm not going to be specific on who it was, but someone about a week ago, we were actually talking in a group, and I think it was Bible study. And we were talking about people that, when you think of faith, who do you think of? And they, I mean, no one hesitated. They popped up with a name right away. You know, some of them said Martha Dupree. Some of them said Alice. Some of them said Mary. So, think about it. When you walk a Christ-like life, you are showing the example. You're walking in the love and compassion of God. You are spreading that aroma, that fragrance of Christ. So in John chapter 12:3, I think you were probably thinking, I wonder if she'll get to this scripture, where Mary anoints Jesus' feet, which caused the whole house where Mary lived and her siblings to experience and be filled with that fragrance. They smelled like that fragrance. Her siblings smelled like that fragrance. The whole house was full of this fragrance. And as she did this, of course, Judas, as they were pouring this, as Mary was pouring this perfume on Jesus' feet, Judas is like, he scorns her. And he goes, that perfume is priceless. That perfume could have been sold and the money could have been used for the poor. Well, why did Judas say that? Because Judas was the one with the purse. He was the one carrying the money. And Judas, unfortunately, was taking some of that money. He was no more concerned about the poor at all. He was just concerned about whether it was going to help fill up his pocket. So he was scorning Mary. But Jesus says in verse 7 of chapter 12 of John, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Jesus, the one who raised the dead, prepared for his own death. When this happened, when Jesus did this, or when Mary did this, what had happened here was Jesus prepared for his own death. Mary lavished gesture of pouring that perfume on his feet was an important part of that preparation of Jesus' burial. The song I want to sing is exactly the story of this morning. One day this plain village woman, driven for love by her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like the spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious treasure. Precious treasure, his love and his own perfect son. You were sent here to show us the love of the Father, and just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, yes, you gave up yourself willingly. Lord, you spared no expense for my pardon. You were used up and wasted for me, broken and spilled out, abandon. Lord, you were spilled out and used up for me. Lord, you were spilled out and used up. So just as the parents who smell every single day those coffee beans and it reminds them of their daughter, and just as you right now think about what you shared this morning and the fragrance that was left behind for you to remember, God has given all of us the fragrance of Christ himself, and he's imparted it into all of us. And he's asking one thing of us, and it's part of the Great Commission, and that is to leave that fragrance of Christ with each and every person that you come across every single day, because you might be the only Bible some will ever read. You might be the only Jesus some will ever see. Take that opportunity with all the gusto, with all the love, with all the compassion that God placed within you. Use that gift to make a difference in someone's life. Father, may our lives produce a sense, an aroma of Jesus and his love, and reminds us and helps us to show others to be remembered that they too need Christ. Help us to pass along this aroma of life, and that it makes a difference. And that those that we meet along the way, Lord, know from the aroma, from the fragrance that we have, that we represent you. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's go ahead and stand.